I would if you would turn with me to a familiar passage of Scripture as found in St. John chapter 4. We are living, saints, in the last days, and I'm certainly happy for you that are here who are going to, we're preparing y'all for the final harvest. This is it. And if we don't get ready for this final harvest, we're going to miss God and his call on our lives to bring in this final harvest. Saints, we don't want to miss this. We don't want to miss this. In St. John chapter 4, verses 35 and following, we want to talk a little bit about getting ready for the harvest, because just like Jesus and his disciples were talking about harvest and bringing in souls, in that day, the message is still the same today. Bringing in the harvest. And you know what? I don't want us to be like the disciples of that day. They were about to miss the harvest with Jesus with them. They want to put off a little bit longer. And it's like the churches. We want to put it off a little longer. We got something else to do. We're busy over here doing this. We're busy over here building churches. We're busy over here, you know, doing backhanded flip-flops, attracting attention. But we don't want to be caught missing the call of God or for our harvest. Because God's going to whip up on us. Do you hear that? God gonna whip up on the church if she doesn't get ready to for the harvest. Just like America is being whipped upon, this is part of what's going on with this recession. I want you to know that recessions are nothing new. They've been happening from the very beginning of time. There have been cycles of ups and downs. Every good economist knows that. But not only do the economists know it, but we in Scripture know this. Starting from Abraham, right on up, there were problems of harvest and cycles of recession in Abraham's day. And everybody in Abraham's day, they struck out and run down to Egypt, to the black folk, because they know the black folk was going to be eaten. No matter what's going on. No matter what, they would be eating. And so they knew that. And the only way they could get them out of that, God had to bring plagues on Egypt in order to stop them from eating good and having parties and having a good time. Let the church say amen. I would if someone would begin reading at this 35th verse. Does someone have that? 4, St. John 4, verses 35 and following.
They not ye? They are yet 4 months. And then cometh harvest.
Here, these guys were walking with Jesus, and harvest was already underway, and these guys was missing it. Walking with Jesus, not aware of what God was doing and what his plan was. And even when Jesus was talking to them and telling them things, they were missing even that. You know, sometimes when you got so much on your mind and you're thinking God's going to come one way, and these guys had a right to believe that God was coming one way. They always knew that a Savior was coming and that he would be coming in such a way that he would be bringing peace. He would be changing the kingdom. They thought that this was his purpose there. He came to take over the kingdom from Rome and set them up again. But that wasn't, help me say, but that wasn't it. Let the church say amen. And so the harvest was underway, and Jesus' disciples were missing it. Keep on reading.
Behold,
he says, behold,
I say unto you.
He said, but look, I say unto you, look. And they were in a position to see, but they wouldn't pay no attention. See, they had just been downtown to get them something to eat. I said, went down to McDonald's to get them a few fish sandwiches and a few burgers, and they brought Jesus something to eat. When they got back, Jesus, they handed Jesus a sandwich. He said, I don't want that. He said, we brought him something to eat. Nobody brought him anything to eat, but Jesus was saying, you have to go back a little further in this story. You hear him saying that I have something, I have eat meat to eat that you just don't know of. Because Jesus had that opportunity to meet the woman at the well. He'd met a real sinner, a woman that had been looking for a real man. That's right. Been looking for a real man. Yeah, she'd been looking. She'd been through quite a few, y'all, waiting to meet a real man. Wait a minute. Now, that's not in my notes here. Oh, Jesus, help me get back at the ranch. You're looking for a real man. Help me say thank you, Jesus. We're looking for something real. People are looking for something real today. And this woman, just like any other woman, not only then but today, women are looking for real men. And we got so many funny men out here that are doing things, and really they're hustling and bustling. They're very gifted and talented, and find themselves, they've made it many times all the way to the top. All the way to the top, but not God's plan. But you got to work with it. And what we have to learn how to do, we have to learn how to work with what God has given us. Work with what God has given you. And you know what? God will bless you no matter what the circumstances are. Let the church say amen. Tell him thank you, Jesus. And keep on reading.
Lift up your eyes. And look on the field. They are white and ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
Let your church say amen. Verse 37, and that's it.
And herein is that same truth. One soweth and another reapeth.
Let your church say amen. We need to recognize that God is concerned about the church and about his people. We are looking at the same system of sowing and reaping. And that's going to be all the way until Jesus comes, sowing and reaping. That's God's plan. I do regret that we, the church, haven't really picked up on this. And so today, I want you to stay with me as we are looking at verse where we get our thought from. Verses 35 says, don't think, I'm going to read it from my amplified version. Y'all get that? 35. Do not say, it's still 4 months. See, they're waiting. This is around April and May. They figure that the average time in 4 months, you pick up, you start doing your harvest in June and July. Things start getting ready for the harvest. But Jesus said, I want you to take your eyes off of your farming nature, the things that you've been used to doing. He said, I want you to take a look. Just look out there. Because this woman at the well who had finally found a man who could tell her everything that she's ever done. He told him, listen, a real man. She began to talk to him. She says, and they had a real good conversation. They talked about this whole scripture, as you know, is about worship. They talked about worship. And this woman knew something about worship. Even though she had come to the well at an unusual time, at noonday, 12 o'clock in the day, because she didn't want to run into the women of the community. Because she didn't want to talk with those women. Because she was a troublemaker for some of those women. She didn't want to talk with them. So she come late. And here she ran into somebody. She ran into a real man. A man who was able to tell her everything that she'd ever done. And she talked about, well, we're supposed to worship in the mountains, and y'all worship down there in Jerusalem. Why are you asking me for water? You know what we Jews, and you Jews don't have nothing to do with us Gentiles. No good Samaritan, no matter how good we are. You Jews don't have nothing to do with us. And you ain't even got nothing to draw with. And you talking about you want water. Jesus just wanted to, he had this special appointment. He said, it is needful that I go this way. There was, listen, the Jews had a more direct way of going to Jerusalem and bypassing Samaria. Without even stopping, didn't even see an old Samaritan. Kept right on getting up. Kept right on heading to their destination. But I want you to know that Jesus, see, I got to go through here. That's a purpose. He knew that that woman's going to be there at that time, and she was going to be needing some help. That woman had, she'd had all the, she'd already had a few husbands. She said as many as five. But did you say amen? And I would say she just had something on the ball. Because all these men keep running them and said, try me. Try me. Let's do it. Let's do it. That's right. All these men kept coming to try me. Let's try this. My objective is to tell you is that this woman had knew something about the world, and she was aware of what the world was offering, but she didn't know about Jesus. And when Jesus began to read her mail and tell her, I said, now go get your husband. What? And I guess she could almost say, which one? She said, I don't have one. And he said, you told the truth. Thank you for telling the truth. She said, you're right. You told the truth. You don't have one. He said, you had five. And the one that you're staying with now, it ain't yours. And that's why you're here now. In this time of day, that husband belongs to somebody else. Jesus, help me, Jesus. Thank God for the blood. I didn't get to go to Memphis, y'all, to get inspired by our preaching. In fact, I said, no, watch out. But I heard who preached. In fact, I said, one or two of those preachers, I don't think I wanted to hear. I said, because one of them came from here. Didn't have his act cleaned up. See, they would have offended me. In fact, I said, I'm glad I didn't get to go. Because I would have come away to this. Did you know I've sat there in Memphis? I sat there in Memphis and was too offended to take communion with them on Monday. I wonder if anybody knew that. I'm just confessing. I've been sitting there and seeing some of the stuff that's going on, and I wasn't able to commune with them because I knew something was not right. You see, if you got a standard for your life, and you have expectations and standards for the church, we're supposed to be setting the bar. The bar should be set by us. And here's the brother said, well, I'm not going to my convocation. I got an invitation to go to Memphis to preach for the saints. And they even invited him to his own convocation. Because he didn't sit down 6 months like he should have after he had been caught in his devilment. But see, oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. And Stafford, get out of this rut. I'm in a rut here, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Stafford, get out of here. I'm talking to myself. Get out of this rut. Tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. But this woman knew that she had problems when he began to read the mail, and Jesus is telling about, he told his disciples after they came and they offered him his sandwich and he didn't want it. He says, I've had something to eat that is not, I had something to eat that you know not of. He said, I tell you to raise your eyes and look out on the field. Look out on the field. Listen, there was something happening. This woman had already had that opportunity. Now she left, but she told him, go get your husband. She said, that's right, you don't have one. And she says, but then the one that you don't have, you're sleeping with, is not yours. She said, but All right, she dropped her water pot and struck out back into town. And she had a lot of people following her. You know, if you got a bad, if you got a reputation, men and women both know you. When they say, I've met a man up here that's told me everything. I've met a real man up here. He knows what he's talking about. Come see a man. And do you know what? She had the whole road lined up coming to see Jesus. And they, some of them came just to see what the woman knew, but then they believed after they got there and heard Jesus. Clap your hands and tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. They believe after they got there and see. But I want to talk, he said, and I want to say what we're talking about today, preparing, help me say, preparing for the harvest. We need to know that preparing for the harvest is about sowing and reaping. Saints, we are living on the edge of eternity. We are living in the very last days, and the church has a responsibility to prepare itself to reap the harvest. And working three jobs is not going to get it. You can work 10 jobs, and you're not going to have enough money to finance this harvest. I wonder if I'm preaching to anybody. It's going to be done through sowing and reaping. Oh yes, not this harvest. This harvest is going to have to be financed with real money. This harvest is going to have to be, this harvest is going to have to be financed with money that comes through God's paying us for sowing and reaping. We got to catch on to the real thing. Sowing and reaping is the plan. Let the church say amen. Tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Sowing and reaping, it says, observe the fields, see how they're already white for harvesting. And he goes on to say, already the reaper is getting wages. See, somebody's already getting wages. And he who does the cutting now has his reward. I kind of came up on this idea two ways this past week. One is that when I went over to the house down on the corner, I walked in and I was talking with Minister Agnew, who was working there. I saw one of those old sickles. Is that what it's called, sickles? I said, well, when have I seen one of these? I haven't seen these in a long time. But a sickle was there. Putting in the sickle, that's what Jesus was referring to, putting in the sickle, because the harvest is already ripe. It's time now for the harvest, y'all. And it's time now to use the sickle to bring the harvest in. But it's going to take sowing and reaping to do it. Sowing is God's plan. If you go all the way back to Genesis, you'll find that sowing and reaping is God's plan. He says in Genesis 1, he says there's always going to be seed time and harvest. Let the church say amen. And all of this is taking place before we see the problems on that are occurring in America. It's before CNN News had it, before Fox picked it up, before CBS and Channel 13 picked it up, NBC. There's time for us to get ready to reap the harvest. Let the church say amen. This economic situation that we are suffering and struggling in, I want you to know it's not about us. It's not about us. Remember, we are ambassadors from another world. We are ambassadors come from heaven. Our home is on high. And we are just ambassadors here. And when it gets too tough in here for us to hang out, he's going to pull us out. Isn't that what America does whenever it gets too tough for our ambassadors to stay in the country? We call them home. And that's what's going to happen to us. Sometime calling us home through death. But this time, it's going to be for the masses. It's going to be, we're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Thank God for the blood. Aren't you happy about that? Clap your hands and tell him thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. I want you to know the economic problem that we're having is God's mode to bring down the country but it's also God's mode to bless us. And I want you to see that in each instance that you see economic hard times, somebody's getting blessed. It happened in America when men and women were jumping out of skyscrapers because they had lost all their money in the 20s and the early 30s. Somebody was reaping big money, but somebody was being hindered and being taken to the cleaners because they'd lost all their money on the money market. It's happening again. And it's going to keep going this. All I'm pointing out is this is nothing new. And so don't get yourself upset about this. God is going to take care of us. I was glad to hear that report coming from Sister Hamilton today. I'm expecting to hear some more. I'm expecting to hear some more. Clap your hands and tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Now, I don't care how bad things are that you're around you. God is going to make a way for you. Mother Rick, am I telling the truth? God is going to make a way for you. God is going to fix your finances right in the midst of this mess. Because God is God. Tell him thank you, Jesus. And so it's all happening to bring down and to break down of a system that was meant not to supply your needs. You notice this world system was never meant to supply your needs. We thought it was for some time. Even I thought it was. But it's not elevated. It never was meant to supply our needs. Let the church say amen. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 17, you remember Elijah? Elijah, who a man of God, who did a great thing on Mount Carmel, but because one woman came out and shook her fist at him, he broke out and started running. See, that's what you got to watch out for. Watch out for after you have a great time in God. When God really blessed you, there's a downer that always follows. And if you are not careful, that downer will cause you to backslide. Here Elijah is laying by the brook that God told him to go to and asking God to kill him because he done got scared of one woman. Saying, ain't nobody left. I'm by myself. God didn't speak to him and said, man, listen, I got 7,000 folk. 7,000 that prophet that never bowed their knee. They ain't thinking about this woman. Get out of your act. Let the church say amen. And that was one of our greatest prophets. Let the church say amen. Tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. But it's all happening. 1 Kings 17, Elijah does it. Now I want you to see that God made some special provisions for him. He says, I want you to go and stay by the brook and drink from the brook. Now, he could have been sitting by the brook and staying by the brook for a lifetime, and he would have died there if he didn't drink. You got to drink. First, natural, and then spiritual. He said, because spiritually, I got a plan for you. I'm going to call some buzzards to bring you bread and meat. I'm going to command them. That's supernatural, Lord. You hear that? And I just believe that those buzzards, well, they said ravens and buzzards are the raven family. He said, I just believe that those ravens were going to the king's house, stealing out of the window of his kitchen and bringing him bread and meat. And it was happening every day. He helped me say every day. Meat and bread. Let the church say amen. But don't get scared. That's supernatural. I want to point out that the Bible never says one time, Elder Graves, and you preachers check it out, Elder Johnson and Minister Tamel. Look and see. Not at any time do you see the brook dried up. Is that all right? That's the natural part. But you will never find it in the Bible where they stopped the buzzards or the raven from bringing bread and meat. You're not going to, which means that the supernatural kept right on happening. Listen, the supernatural is going to keep on working for you to be blessed. Don't get upset and worried about what's happening in the natural. You do what you can in the natural, but the supernatural is never going to stop. God has a way to make it work out for you. Hey, God is still in control. Now, I'm preaching hard here, y'all. Y'all may not be shouting. And I don't think y'all got the message there. And I see you, now you've heard me talk about this a lot, often and on. But I wasn't sure that I was on the right trail until I stayed home. I missed my trip to Memphis. And the same night that I missed the bus, Sister Johnson, I saw Bishop McClendon on television preaching this same message close to it, and he was preaching it with an anointing considered on the political correct, but he has something. He has an anointing. But the church say amen. Yes. And the brook dried up, but the supernatural never changed. Let the church say amen. God is concerned about it. So I would, if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. The brook did dry up. Sowing and reaping is God's plan.
There was a famine in the land.
Mm-hmm.
By the first famine, that was in the days of Abraham.
Listen, now we are going to another. They mentioned the one that happened during Abraham's day, but now we're talking about Isaac. But I want you to know that in each generation, there is a famine. It's cyclic. It comes back every so many years. Sometimes every 40 years, every 60 years. But it's because generation could be considered 40 years. It can be considered as many as 60 years. But every so often, a cyclic change in the nature of things for God. God does it on his own. He's in charge of this. And he has a way to get the money away from the rich to get it over to the poor. Let the church say amen. And so Abraham went down to Egypt, because that's where everybody else was running. But listen to what happened. On his way down, and you can look at what happened. Just as they're coming into approaching Egypt, he tells his wife, "Now, listen, these princes and these black males, they're going to be checking you out because you're pretty. You look good. They're going to check you out." He said, "Now, I don't want you to tell them that I'm your husband. Tell them I'm your sister. And they'll take care of me because I'm your brother. And I'll be taken care of." But scriptures are still true, y'all. Let the church say amen. Tell the Lord, tell him thank you. Read 26 and 1. Read.
Isaac went up to Abimelech.
Now here's the same story. Isaac and Abimelech.
King of the Philistines.
Now he's in the land of the Philistines where God sent him. Read.
Unto Gerar.
And
the Lord appeared unto him and said,
he told him,
"Go not down into Egypt."
This time he said, "I'm not going to let you do what your daddy did. I'm going to let you make you stay here. Stay in the land of the Philistines." And I just said, "Well, it's a famine here. Things are bad. These folk are hungry. These folk are having a time. They don't have water. They don't have food. These things are bad." But God said, "I don't want you to go down. Don't go down." But listen to what he does. He has the same battle to fight, the same devil to face, which means having to do with his wife. Because not only was Sarah beautiful, but Rebecca look good. Let the church say amen. Keep on reading.
"Well, in the land which I shall..."
You see, you stay right here where I'm told you. Read on.
"Sojourn in this land."
Stay here. Read on.
"I will be with thee."
Hang loose here. The main thing you need to know, church, is that in the midst of these downturns, know that God is with you. And the main reason that the way that you can know that God is with you, we got to stop hanging out with the devil and fighting a lot of little crazy battle with strife. You remember what strife is? There is sin and every other kind of evil. We got too much strife in our church. Little teams fighting against one another. talking about one another, putting one team down for another. We got to stop that. Oh, now that wasn't in my notes either, but keep on reading.
That will bless thee.
He said, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to bless you. But I want you to know the only way you can do, you miss out on your blessing because of strife. See, you can cause yourself to miss your blessing. You got to be willing to go through with God. Stop teaming up with these people that you know ain't going nowhere and who's running the pastor down and running leadership down. Oh, I'm preaching. I'm preaching hard. Because God is concerned about that. Where strife and malice is, there's sin and every other kind of grievous thing taking place. Even in the church. The Lord showed me while I was home, and I think that was good for me to stay home. But this day and I read it, y'all got to go into another shed in, Minister Trammell. Sister Trammell, I need y'all. I need some people who can fast and stay up all night. All night long. Fast and pray. And then come out and anoint every seat in this church.
The Lord is saying,
anoint every seat in this church again. And even all the doorways. We letting too many devils and demons come up in here with the wrong attitude. Oh, I'm preaching hard, y'all. Tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh. So sowing and reaping is God's way to bless you. Not working and wages. Because a lot of people, that's what we depend on, working and wages. As long as I can, my poor wife, she said, as long as I can get to my job, I can make it. Working and wages. So sad. She'd like to have a job now. But she can't do it, y'all. Every time she starts thinking that she got time to do a job, God give her something else to do around the house. And if he's not working on me and Jeremiah, it's me. See, so she got something to do all the time. She ain't gonna ever get back to no job. Did the church say amen? She doesn't need a job, y'all. Just need to know that the job is not for that. Listen, your job is not for you to make a living. It's for you to prepare yourself for giving.
My Lord.
Sowing and reaping. If you're paying your tithe and doing it well, and you got a little extra money after you pay your tithe, and you see a good ministry taking place, like some of these Christian ministries such as TBN, such as TCT, CTN, Christian Television Network. Put your little money in that. Sow a seed. And I'm not telling you just sow a seed and don't pay your tithe. Your tithe is for your local church. Your offering is for your local church. But now if you want, am I preaching out here, Minister Trammell saying first? Maybe I should be saying that first. You do that first. You pay your tithes first. You give your offering first. And then if you have some extra, I know some people say, well, Pastor, I don't have no. Listen, I had to do it. I told you all my story, some of my story the other night, on Friday night, how my poor wife suffered and struggled with me paying tithes and giving offering and seeding, and she could look right through my shoes into my socks every time we went to church. Something was wrong with that picture from her side. But I wasn't worried about that. I knew that God was going to take care of me. I knew that in due time, God would act in my behalf. And so I gave myself out of poverty. Are you hearing that? And here we are, two well-trained people, both with degrees. I'm with an advanced degree in poverty. Because that was the time that we were living in. So it was a cycle, a downturn. People with degrees was walking the street. Doctors. On the streets. What if anybody hear what I'm saying in the 60s? Doctors on the streets. Let the church say amen. And so I want you to know that your working and wages is not God's plan. It is not for you to make a living. It's for your giving. And so I feel sorry for people who keep getting say, I'm going to get one more job. I'm going to get two more jobs. I'm going to get three more jobs. You can keep getting jobs. God is just going to fix it so we just pay a few more taxes. We'll pay a little more taxes over here, a little more taxes over there. And before you know it, you're fine. In fact, at one point, I told my wife, I think it's better for you to stay home. And we're in a different tax bracket. That's right. We're paying too much taxes. See, at that time, when you start getting over $100,000, you're in the wrong tax bracket. You're paying too much money out in taxes. Let the church say amen. Oh, I'm preaching, y'all. Now, recession, hallelujah, is in every generation. God's not going to let you do what your daddy did. And so he didn't let Isaac do what Abraham did. But I want you to keep reading because it's close there what it says. He went on down, but he told his wife the same story. I've said the same fantastic lie. He told her. Keep on reading. Here it go again. Read on.
But unto thee.
Unto you and your seed.
I will give all these countries.
He said, I'm going to give all these countries to you. Read on.
I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father.
I'm going to do it for you because I swore it to your father. Read on.
I will make thy seed multiply as the stars of heaven.
Your seed are going to multiply. Read on.
And will give unto thy seed all these countries.
All these countries.
And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Uh-huh.
Because that Abraham obeyed my voice.
Yes, Lord.
And kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law.
Yes, yes, yes.
Isaac dwelt in Gerar.
And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Read on.
And the men of the place asked him of his wife.
Oh, here come that same devil, that same demon. Raises his eyes. He gets his get a tip. Take a look at your beautiful wife. No doubt, Minister Tremell, since you say you got the prettiest one. No doubt, Minister Tremell, you'd have trouble going into no doubt going into Egypt or in the land of the Philistines. You have a little bit of trouble, man, when you got the most beautiful woman. They always realize it. You hear that, Sister Bell? Sister Bell, I guess you're going to be like my wife and Katie. They said, don't call my name in the pulpit. That's what Katie and Bertha tell me. Don't call my name in that pulpit. So I'm not supposed to call their name in there getting this pulpit. Now, these are supposed to be my best friends, Mother Rex. They tell me, don't call my name when you get in that pulpit. So I'm messing up somewhere. But I just tell my story. I call them my stories, Brother Hammer. They're my stories. And it's not meant to harm. It's just telling my story. So keep on reading, Elder Gray.
And he said, she is my sister.
She is my sister. Because
he feared to say.
She
is my wife.
She is my wife.
Lest said he, the men of the place should come to kill me for Rebekah. Because she was fair to look upon.
She was fair to look upon. Now I want you to know this, that and you probably heard me say this in scripture, you've heard me say this, because as long as you're dealing with women that are not black, they're fair to look upon. But when you start talking about black women are very beautiful. Bathsheba in the scripture was called very beautiful in our life. Abishai, very beautiful. So you black, we don't need to know who you are, and more importantly, keep yourself for your husband. Even Abishai, who had to lay in the King David's and to lay in his arms, and the Bible says in his breast, to kind of warm him up, to heat him up, to keep him alive. But the Bible said he did not know her. She kept herself. She went in there as a virgin. She walked out as a virgin. I wonder if I'm preaching to anybody. Black women, hold yourself up. Now that wasn't in my notes either. Keep on reading. I want you to know that there's a spirit in every one of these cycles. A spirit to defeat you. You've got to defeat that demon yourself. Your prosperity is not laid up in your job. Let the church say amen. It's an attempt to break you down, to make you lose relationships with people, to cause you to be angry with folks. Let the church say amen. envy. Hallelujah. Now, if the devil will get you to distrust yourself and distrust your sister and brother, there's no prosperity in just working and wages. There's got to be a better plan. I want you to see that when Abraham came out of Egypt, the Bible says he came out of there with horses, donkeys, asses, everything that he needed,
yes,
because of his wife. Did the church say amen?
Amen.
The same thing happened to Isaac. But I want you to know that if we keep looking at this story, after that situation, Ella Grace, I think you read one more chapter, verse, and you'll see that the Bible says Isaac sowed. Read. He sowed. I think there's one more verse down. He sowed. In that
and it
land.
Came to pass that he had been there a long time. That Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window, at the window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife.
Oh, he called him sporting around with his wife. He got caught sporting with his wife, and knew that was his wife, and not just his sister. Because some things you don't do with your sister. You do with your wife. Yeah, right. Abimelech heard that some things you don't do with your sister that you do with your wife. In fact, I had to tell one preacher that about dealing with some young ladies. Some things young ladies don't do with you. And I think, ministers, you need to keep your reputation in such a way that some women are not going to do certain things to you if you kept your right priority. Am I talking right, y'all? Keep yourself right. Because if you don't, you find them doing something to you and in your face, sporting around. Make the people think. In fact, down the line, they'll know something ain't right. What did the church say? Amen.
Amen.
But keep on reading.
And Abimelech called Isaac and said,
call him in.
Behold, of a surety, is thy wife.
Yes, your wife.
And how saidst thou, she is my sister?
Why did you lie to her?
Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her.
He said, I didn't want to die. I want to live. Keep on reading.
And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done unto us?
Mm-hmm.
One of the people might lightly have leaned with thy life.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.
They're going to be put to death.
Then Isaac sowed in that land.
You hear that? I want to make the emphasis there. Then Isaac sowed in that land. Right there in among the Philistines where the famine was going on. He sowed right in the middle of it, obeying God. And you need to know that it's always about you, the person of God. And even though he told a lie, Abraham told a lie, but when God's calling is on you, see, there are some things that you can get by that others can't get by with.
That's right.
Giftings and anointings without what? Repentance. You need to know that there's something some people can do that you can't do. You need to be aware of that. Let the church say amen. And so here he is. Now he's sowing in the land and looking what happened. Evergreen.
And the Lord blessed him.
Listen, and the Lord, you need to know that the Lord blessed him. So I want you to keep on sowing. Keep on paying your tithe. Keep on being faithful. Keep on sowing and reaping. Your blessing is just around the corner. You need to know that God has something blessed and perfect for you. You can't miss the blessing as long as you're faithful. But now, of course, if you throw up your hands, throw in the towel and says, oh, I'm just like everybody else here. You will miss out on the call of God for your life. And will miss the blessing. You'll miss out on the harvest of God. Remember, we're preparing for the harvest. We've got to be preparing to have extra money to promote and to pay for this harvest. Harvest got to be paid for. And God is going to fix it for the church to do it. Abraham was prepared for it. He got blessed. Isaac prepared for it, and he got blessed. and the church. See, we are a microcosm of what happened in the past. The church is God's plan to bless and to be used. Let the church say amen. The king will treat you well. Let the church say amen. But then after you get blessed and really show that you're blessed, then they begin to kind of draw up. They start looking at you funny.
That's right.
They start looking at you out of the corner of the eye. The Bible said that they got angry. They looked at him with envy and said, man, you need to get out of this town. But God had blessed him. God had made a way for him. And I'm saying to you, God will bless you. While we're preparing for the harvest, know this, that God will use you if you have him with you. And I'm saying to you every day, take the Lord along with you. Everywhere you go, you're going to need him. You're going to need him everywhere you go. You're going to need him in your home. You're going to need him on the job. You're going to need him in your church. Take him along with you everywhere you go. And as I close, I want you to know that Jesus is preparing us and expecting us to prepare for the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Oh, I'm looking at the laborers. Look at the laborers. The laborers are few, even here for communion. I would expect the church to be packed with the number of people that belong to Maryland Church. You should be coming to communion. I told Sister Dauphine, girl, if you can get in here any kind of way, come get your communion. Because if you don't make it to communion, you're in trouble. You need to come. This is where you come and meet Jesus himself.
Yeah.
Jesus is a means to blessing. It's not only blessing, but a means for deliverance for you. Uh-huh. Now, some of us need deliverance, church. But if you don't come to get your communion, you're missing out on your opportunity to be delivered, to be helped and brought out. Try to get the communion, y'all. Take him with you everywhere you go. Let us stand on our feet. Beams of heaven, fun as I go through this wilderness below, guide my feet in the peaceful way. Turn my midnight into today. I do not know. Church, I don't know how long. I don't know what the future holds. But this I know. I know this much. If Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. Clap your hands and tell the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Now I know everybody knows that stanza, but I like stanza number 3 that goes like this. Help me, children. It's harder yet may be the fight. Right may often yield to might. Wickedness a while may reign. Satan's plan may seem to gain. But there is a God. I love when you get to, but there is a God who stands above, and he rules the world with a heart full of love. And if I'm right, he will fight my battle. Woo! I shall get home some. I do not know. Church, I don't know how long.